Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Good afternoon, everybody. We're joined by Jennifer Smith from Create a New You. And Jennifer is being interviewed by myself, Justine, and Dawn. Hello. Hi, Jennifer. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing very well today. I'm so happy to be on here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us.
It's nice to have you along.
Yes.
Yeah. I think this is going to be it's an exciting time because, as I said, I'm launching this Create a New You. So, this is really, really another positive note to put another on my checklist, another tick on my checklist. Excellent. Things done.
Yeah.
So would you like to tell us a bit about yourself? I know you've got an eye condition, have you? If you'd like to start by that, that'd be great.
Yeah, so I've got keratoconus. And I think you've had someone on from one of the groups talking about keratoconus before in terms of like the cornea and the eye condition. So I've had keratoconus since 1992.
Right.
And in 2007, I went for my normal eye checkup and the junior doctor said I had to wait to see the consultant. And I had no reason to think of anything untoward. And I saw the consultant and basically he said, well, you're blind in your left eye and I can offer you a transplant. You'll have to wait on the list, but you can tell your eye's deteriorating and you can't see out of it anyway. So this would be the best, you know, option we could give you. So that started my journey in sight loss, and it's taught me a lot about people, our attitudes, and even looking at myself before, you know, I've always been able to wear something that corrected my vision, glasses, contact lenses. But when you're not able to have anything correct it, it's a massive, massive change in your lifestyle.
Of course. And do you have any vision at all now, Jennifer?
So basically, I had the operation in 2008, cornea transplant. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure my consultant was that he had a really good success rate. So we never talked about if it would go wrong and if I would go for any rejection. And I happened to be in the small 4 or 5% that it actually goes wrong for. So my left eye has a transplant that went through a period of rejection and had secondary glaucoma. Okay. And the right eye has the keratoconus that's stabilized at the moment. So my vision is very limited and I haven't been able to find anything that could really correct it. So it's been a very life-changing experience, really.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah. Definitely. It's quite hard when you've gone through all that process, isn't it? And then you find that there's nothing else they can do or no other things they can do to improve the vision. It's quite devastating, quite hard to come to terms with, really, isn't it?
I think it is because, you know, I work for a local sight loss charity, and, you know, being in that sector, you talk to a lot of people and their experiences. And if you've had sight before and you've lost it, it's totally different to being, you know, we were talking about the difference of like being born blind and adapting to the world.
Yes.
And having sight loss later on and the changes that happen. So it's been, you know, as such, it's been changes in lifestyle, looking at how people with sight loss are viewed, you know, and just questioning myself as well about, you know, maybe my attitude before I had the sight loss as well.
Of course. And what do you do in your job at the moment?
So I'm one of the outreach workers and I go out and I help either befriend people with sight loss, attend GP appointments or hospital appointments before the whole pandemic happened, but there's been a lot of the reason for me doing this lifestyle thing now is we've done a lot of ringing round and we found that people are really isolated where they were, you know, people, it's, you know, when they're going through the sight loss, it's quite a kind of difficult journey. And we're finding that people are even more isolated with everything happening.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's nothing like someone saying to you, I don't know your journey, but I do understand some of your walk. There's nothing like another person understanding, you know. I had two, I have six children, five boys and a girl.
Wow. Well, they keep you busy.
They keep me busy. And I had a husband who had had been in the intensive care unit, had a stroke, traumatic brain injury, kidney failure. So I had to find coping strategies. There was no way of, you know, you either give up or you find a way to manage.
Yes, you do.
Of course you do. Yeah.
So how did you manage all that on a day-to-day basis? And, you know, what were your coping strategies?
Yeah, so I found that I had to adapt all my strategies. I had two children under five and I just had to be able to carry on because I had someone who I was a full-time carer for and then I had the responsibilities of children and they're all different ages. And I found that I had to adjust. And because, you know, I'm registered partially sighted, but people want an appearance when they see you, the general public, you know, they want this appearance of like sight loss means this and this is how you should look. So I had to adapt strategies for walking, just walking to the local shops, buying things, putting on my clothes, things I still do now just by habit, and mimicking, looking at other people and looking because I can see shapes.
Yeah.
So I look at how a person acts and kind of mimics it in order to get through and get by.
So you were trying to have a normal kind of life when you were coming to terms with obviously your sight loss, trying to keep the family together and as well as being a carer, which must have been very, very difficult.
Very, 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 very difficult. And having not understanding about the sight loss sector, because I had everybody else's priority, not myself.
Yeah.
Not understanding the help that was out there and having something like this today, being on when I saw that you were asking for people, it's ideal because you can just a podcast is something people can just put in, listen to and make them feel like you're there in the room with them. So it's unbelievable how things have changed since I first experienced the sight loss and all the changes and having to keep everything together because, you know, one of you goes down. Okay. Possibility two of you go down.
Yeah.
I don't know what hope there would be for anybody else, really.
Yeah. No, of course. Of course.
So what was your inspiration for setting up the group that you've actually set up or the help group?
Yeah. So basically, it's called Create a New You because one of the things I realized is that every day you get up, you get a chance to create something new.
Yes.
Yesterday cannot be changed. It doesn't matter. It's history. And it is a story because you can say this. I could say to you, you know, or Dawn or Justine, this happened. And you could say, well, no, Jenny, it happened like that. And it doesn't mean we're right or wrong. It just means how you saw it.
Yes.
So, you know, like, yesterday is past, but today is a new day and you can't think about tomorrow because it's not here yet.
Yeah.
So it was like, and I just got Create a New You and I wanted to have, so basically I realized that everybody I met had either gone through pain, some kind of pain, some kind of abuse or adversity, some kind of trauma and some kind of hurt. So when I looked at those four things, it was like, it's a path, Jenny, it's a path, because that's what the acronym is. It's a path, Jenny. And that's the journey people are taking.
Yeah.
And I realized that sometimes you have to, even though you go through those things that are pulling you down, you have the ability to change it for yourself.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wanted to create something where people would, I'm going through pain now, but I have to find the power within myself to create something better today.
Yeah. And how did you go about sort of putting those wheels in motion, if you like?
So I created a limited company called Create a New You, and I have been working on my launch strategy for a very long time. I'm currently separated from my husband. I was in a very toxic and abusive relationship. So it's taken me a little while to get myself on my feet.
Yeah.
So I've got the wheels in motion of, you know, this is the course. This is so at the moment I work as an outreach officer, but I also mentor people and giving them, you know, telling them that they've got power in their life. And when you get home, maybe you're in that same routine and people still see you as the person with sight loss for whatever reason. But you can empower yourself inside so you feel whole, you know, I think.
Can I just touch on, if you don't mind me asking, about the abusive relationship? I mean, as a visually impaired person, and I do have some empathy with you on regarding this, how did you manage all of that? You know, did you get support to get out of that situation? Did you rely on friends? Did you tell people even?
I'm a very vocal person, as you can tell by being on this being on this podcast. And eventually I did get help from the local council. Eventually, I had a domestic violence worker assist me, and I was able to get out of it. But it was a very difficult situation. And very traumatic, obviously with children involved as well. So as a visually impaired person, I don't think people really understand some of, you know, I did some research because I was doing a master's, and I did some research into sight loss and the impact of sight loss. And it was the Thomas Pocklington Trust had done a survey, and it was showing that, you know, with the sight loss sector, we have the same issues, but it's even more because of the sight loss. We have the same issues as everybody else, you know, unemployment, you know, the poverty threshold, everything else. But it's actually more impactive because of our sight loss. So I'm trying to show my kids that no matter where you've been, you can rise above it. And that's the whole idea of having Create a New You. I'm creating a new me as well.
So you're sort of helping,
and that's your journey as well, isn't it? Absolutely, your journey. It's your way of healing probably as well, is that?
Of course, because I think that's the path, you know, as I said to you, it's a path, but you go from you've been hurt or harmed to healing yourself. That's the end result. And sometimes you can't find that power within yourself, but you know, as you feel more on solid ground, and you do little steps. You know, you was asking me earlier on, how do you manage all these changes? It's little steps, because maybe the looking at the top of the mountain looks so far away, but if you keep taking those little steps, eventually you look like you've reached halfway.
Absolutely.
It's really important. So I think it's also important for me to tell people it's not, you know, it's not all over. Sometimes there can be, you know, it might seem dim, that light, but there is a light somewhere.
Will the group be sort of, it will be focusing on kind of mentoring people on a one-to-one, or how will it operate?
So I'm just getting in the throes of this. So Dawn and Justine, I'm getting ready for this launch. So basically, I will be doing a 5-day challenge in October, where people can get a taste of what my course will be. And if they like the results that I'm showing. And then in November, I will be launching a masterclass that people can join. And there will be some one-to-one sessions, but I'll be launching this masterclass. We'll be working through techniques on self-empowerment and how people can make themselves feel valued before, you know, someone else may not see your worth. Yeah. But you've got to know that value in yourself. You really have to know that. You have to know that first. So, yes, I'm creating this course that will get people to understand that sometimes it's not just you that's going through it. There's someone else going through it.
Yeah.
And the one thing I know is that sometimes you just want a confidential space. You don't want someone to give you, you know, this is not counseling. You don't want someone to tell you. You just want to scream and shout and say, this is it, and then leave it.
Yeah.
You've released it. You've kind of released it, let it out, and you can move forward.
Sure.
It will be getting valuable tools that you can use whenever you need to. Because the one thing I realized is that no matter what someone, what you say to someone, you're not there when they're going through whatever they're going through.
No. Yeah.
So if you can have something that you can remember that will keep you grounded, you know, that's all positive, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And is it going to be aimed at all age, well, age groups, people, types of people, VI people, or...
So I have two client groups that I have a business mentor at the moment. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the, you know, during this pandemic, I was thinking, what can I do? What can I do? So I have this business mentor. Her name is Anna Parker Nables, and she's the podcast queen. And I've been talking to her about my client group and my, you know, this ideal client. And obviously, I'm working in the sight loss sector, so my ideal client is someone with sight loss.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
But also, it will be empowering women, because we have a lot of women in toxic and abusive situations.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter the money you earn, the job you have.
Yeah.
If you haven't got that value and self-worth inside you, you can put up with a lot of things that are very harmful to your sort of emotional, physical, you know, psychological health.
Yeah.
So this is going to be aimed at those people, but it's not going to be exclusive, or it's not going to exclude anybody who wants to join. I'll be putting out on my Facebook and my Instagram. I'll be putting out ads that will welcome all, but you know, specifically, obviously I have affinity to, you know, people with sight loss or women going through a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
So will any of the handouts, workbooks, things like that, will they be in accessible formats, or are you going to do it obviously like a talking group or a focus group? Or
yeah, so I'll be doing a talking group at first. Mm-hmm. And one of my bugbears is accessibility.
Yeah.
With you on that one.
Accessibility in websites, you know, the whole because unless, you know, like someone's talking it, but when you're walking it, you just understand it so much more.
Yeah.
And I really want to be so inclusive. But you know, there's things you can do that are not at a cost. You know, I know that in the sight loss, it was like when I was growing up and my dad had diabetes, stuff for diabetics used to cost so much money.
Yeah.
And I see that with the sight loss sector, except we have a lot of functions we can like tailor made. So I'm trying to find some cost effective ways of actually including accessibility on my website, on my videos, because I have a particular affinity for people who have like hearing loss, who are deaf, people who have sight loss. You know, why don't we just include it as standard? Why do we have to always be
fighting for it?
Challenging when it should just be part of the, you know, when you're designing something, it should be part of the whole structure of it, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Jennifer, how, if people want to find out more or you know, get sign up, what do they need? You know, what should they do? How can they get in touch with you?
Right. So at the moment, I am just in the throes of actually leaving work and put in my whole, one. I know.
Your brain. It's another one.
Straight out there now, Jenny. So I am in the throes of leaving work and setting everything up and getting ready for this launch, which is going to take a lot of, you know, a lot of energy and a lot of time and import.
Yeah.
So I'm at the moment just on Facebook as Jennifer Smith, or on my Instagram as Jen Smith Gibbs.
Yeah.
But I will be putting out ads. So look out for my ads. And look out for the name Create a New You.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no stopping us now.
No. Well, good for you. I think that's a really big leap, but you obviously believe in it, and that's important.
Mm-hmm. And I believe in, like, helping people to see the best in themselves.
Yeah, definitely. Would there be, if you don't mind me asking, would there be a cost implication for people? So obviously any of our listeners that are thinking about joining or going to an event, would there be a cost implication?
Yeah, so the challenge that I'm going to do, the 5-day challenge, is going to be a free challenge.
Okay.
But the masterclass itself, when we're actually going to be going deeper into how you make these changes in your life and workbooks and the talks, there will be a cost, and the one-to-ones will have a cost to them. But obviously, I will do calls with people because, you know, I've worked in the sight loss sector and with people with disabilities, and sometimes people come and they say things to them and they don't come up with the results. They make promises and they don't come up with the results. So I'd have a talk with people because I want to reassure them that we're going to work together to get the results.
Brilliant. Yeah.
And have you got qualifications? What qualifications have you got to? It's just to inspire other people if they, you know, what to get them do things. It's great. Have you got qualifications to counsel people or?
Well, I had a basic counselling qualification that I got maybe about 15 years ago, and I didn't go any further into it.
Right.
And I started a lifestyle coaching course.
Yeah.
I have yet to complete the last bit of the modules. And as I said, I was doing my master's. It was psychology, but then I changed it to criminology and psychology.
Wow.
I was doing my master's. So that's where I was saying, I was looking at, I was doing psychology. So look at sight loss and the sight loss sector. And so I haven't got all the certificates maybe I should have, but I definitely have the experience.
Yes.
Good. Yeah.
And that knowledge and experience goes a long way, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah, and it's personal knowledge, personal experience. You know, I've worked, it was funny, I actually, when my husband had his brain injury, I just learned a lot about neurology. So, you know, whenever we went to the neurologist, me and him would have this big discussion about, you know, all these neurons and the bits of the brain that were showing up and looking at his brain scan. So I've learned a lot and had to pick up a lot, really.
Of course, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Excellent.
Well, I wish you all the luck in the world.
Absolutely.
Please keep us posted, and if we can do anything to support you, absolutely give us a shout.
I have been absolutely ecstatic to really do this podcast. And thank you very much for having me on here. It's
thank you for your time.
Absolutely
as well.
Welcome, and thank you, because you're very busy.
You are.
I don't know where you found the time.
Well, that's going to be one of the bits in the masterclass. How do you make this time?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dawn and Justine. I really appreciate it.
All the best to you.